Now, I've thought about this. Maybe you have too. Who or what could be living on other planets out there or moons? Or what might our own lives look like on the moon or Mars? But so far, we've got no evidence of other life, no ability to live anywhere, as far as we know, except here on Earth. Our next guest says life on other planets may be possible. It just might not be the kind of life you and I are living today. In collaboration with NASA, scientists are studying early life and evolution here on Earth to answer the question, is life possible on other planets? What would it take to start it? And should we give it a nudge? You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the early origins of life on Earth? If we had the opportunity to give the process a nudge somewhere else in our solar system, say, should we do it? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Betul Kachar is an assistant professor of bacteriology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. At UW, she runs an astrobiology research lab studying early life and evolution. She's the director of MUSE, that's NASA's Metal Utilization and Selection Across Eons program based in Madison. Betul gave a TED Talk about the possibility of life on other planets and the ethical dilemmas surrounding that. Betul, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you said something that really crystallized my thinking in that TED Talk. I thought it was interesting on what the line is between chemistry, which is everywhere in the universe, and biology, which so far we only know about here on Earth. How do we even figure out that dividing line?
That's a very good question. We are working on figuring out that divide. If you think about it, life is a form of chemistry. And I briefly mentioned this in my TED Talk as well, that we all are, and by we, I mean all living organisms on Earth, are chemistries that have memory. We remember, we defy degradation, we exist, we survive, we perish, and we recycle. So the big question is, what's the division between chemistry and biology? We know that this happened on our planet at least once, billions of years ago. We are here to figure it out, and we want to understand how that happened.
What do we know about how that happened? What do we know about the key ingredients in that chemical recipe that allows that chemistry to develop memory, to start reproducing itself?
Well, I can tell you that we know a lot more than we did only even 20 years ago. We know the molecules that existed billions of years ago. We use today and the life around us today to predict or infer the past. We understand the environments that these molecules, these chemistries existed in billions of years ago. But of course, this is a very tricky job. We are trying to figure out what happened billions of years ago, and such occurrences left very little behind. So we have very little to work with to understand early environments and early life altogether, which makes it more fun.
Now, here's a question. Earth's been around for billions of years, 4+ billion years. Life came along in only some hundreds of millions of years, a short amount of time in that scale. So you could look at that and say, okay, that means life is pretty easy. We're going to find it all over the place in planets and moons around the universe. Or you could say, we haven't found it. Maybe there's something super special about Earth, and we're really rare, this life on Earth. Where do you fall on that?
These are great, great points. You would think that life is easy for emerging because Earth did it in less than a billion years, as you pointed out. I like to think of it as, when we think we are old, we should always remember that life is 4 billion years old. So we are not at all, even though we may feel like aging fast, especially these days. It's important to think about life's processes and life's early chemistries within the nuance of evolution. We are thinking about an evolving system when we are thinking about early chemistries. So the question is, of course, how did this happen on our planet, or whether it happened once? Definitely Earth is a better chemist than us, because we haven't quite yet figured this out in the laboratories. And by we, I mean the broader astrobiology and origin of life community. I think that at the end of the day, we come to a realization more and more that we got something quite special here on Earth, that this may be the only planet that this, quote, miracle have happened. Even more the reasons for us to understand the beginnings of life here.
We're talking to Betul Kachar, assistant professor of bacteriology at UW-Madison. She studies the early origins of life here on Earth and what that tells us about whether or not we might find life on other planets. Betul, I am descended from, and you are descended from, and a fern plant and bacteria and whatever, all descended, it sounds like, from that earliest bit of life on Earth. Can we look at all of the genetics of us and somehow backtrack to figure out what those first ancestors would have looked like or been like?
That's exactly what I'm doing. And it's really exciting. So thank you for asking this. Think about that. All life on Earth shares a DNA molecule that we think existed also in our earliest ancestor. So we are walking heritage, a 4 billion year old. We carry this 4 billion year old heritage within us every day in everything that we do. And to make this very interesting, we share about 50% DNA with a banana, right? So this is very fascinating to me and also shows how related we are. And yes, we are using a methodology in my lab to use this shared nuance within all life on this planet today to find out the common DNA sequences that existed billions of years ago, the ancient DNA that was present early on this planet. We also resurrect these ancient DNA that we computationally generate first. So we use mathematics and statistics to first figure it out, but then we resurrect these ancient DNA inside modern microbes and bacteria to figure out how they may have behaved billions of years ago.
All right, Betul, this sounds like a pretty big job already, trying to figure out our common ancestor, how it came somehow out of chemistry. On top of that, though, you're looking at not just Earth. You're trying to figure out what conditions there could be on other planets. I mean, why, on top of what you're already doing, what made you want to pursue, you know, the rest of the universe, too?
Exactly. I like to think of it as that this is the best job in the universe. I mean, think about it. I am a biologist in the only known place in the entire universe where you can be one. This is definitely a very special job. And Rob, I like to think that, you know, some people travel the world to understand life. And don't get me wrong, I love to travel the world as well. But on top of that, I like to think of it as time travelers as well. We come to the lab to travel back in time to figure things out. And yes, as you said, the ultimate goal is then to connect what we learn in the lab to the galactic, to universal scale of life as a potential phenomena in the entire universe. It's quite exciting to be an astrobiologist.
Now, I'm a science fiction guy, and there's all sorts of stories about, you know, terraforming other planets or moons, like making them like Earth. You're thinking about a different question, though. Not can we replicate, can we bring Earth biology to another place, but can we nudge a planet, say, to have the conditions that Earth did to create its own life? Can you talk about that a little?
Exactly. So my TED Talk was about why we need to cherish this miracle of life on Earth. And one potential thought experiment that I wanted to suggest was exactly what you mentioned. It really started with a big what if. What if we are the only place in the entire universe that life exists? This was really inspired by my interactions with the general public. Every time I give a public talk and ask a simple question, how many of you think that there might be life elsewhere in the universe? Almost the entire audience raises their hand. We seem to think that there is other life in the universe simply because perhaps there are a lot of planets and many different possibilities out there that we know more now. But what if that is not the case? What if this is the only planet that harbors life? So I wanted to take the audience to a journey with me, starting with this possibility, and then also connecting that with a possible discovery that we might be very close to, which is figuring out how life started here. So if we were the only planet with life, and if we figure out how life started here, what do we get to do with that knowledge? And it's exactly what you pointed out, that I wanted to ask the audience, should we spread chemistries that may potentially give or allow a planet, a distant planet perhaps, to give birth to life? And that is different than terraforming. That will be different than moving Earth-like life elsewhere.
We're talking to Betul Kachar, researcher with NASA and assistant professor of bacteriology at UW-Madison, looking at the origins of life on Earth, the possibility of life on other planets, if we on Earth should help create the possibility of life on other planets. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Betul asks her live audiences, do you think there is life out there on other planets, or do you think we're all alone? Raise your hand. And then use that hand to call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And when and if we have the capability, should we try to create Earth-like conditions on other planets? Or do you want to play one of my favorite games, Terraforming Mars, someday? Or do you like Betul's notion of creating the conditions for life and then seeing what happens? And if it comes out different than what we have here on Earth? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now we're picking up our conversation about the origins of life with Betul Kachar, looking at her research on early life on Earth and the potential for life elsewhere. With NASA, Betul is studying the missing piece that could allow life on other planets. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about the origins of the earliest forms of life billions of years ago here on Earth? Do you have thoughts on whether we humans ought to try to create the conditions for life on other planets? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Mark is with us in Bloomer. Mark, hi.
Hey, friend. I totally believe that there's life on other planets, and I totally believe that whatever that life is, they are intentionally trying to avoid us. Because we've fouled things up here so bad that they want us to just leave them alone. That's what I think.
Mark, thanks for the call. And Betul, this is a question you think about, given our track record here on Earth, do we have the right to potentially, as Mark says, mess things up on other planets?
That's a great point. And that's exactly the nuance that I was aiming to bring on the table, that we perhaps should not be messing with other planets and instead study them very carefully and understand their conditions. So sending whatever the chemistries we potentially, and again, let me remind everyone that this is a thought experiment,
right.
Would be about perhaps providing more of what that planet has, would not be about contaminating the other environment or this location with what we got here.
Thanks a lot for that call, Brian, at 800-642-1234. Betul, from our vantage on Earth and, you know, some satellites in orbit and a couple samplers on Mars and whatnot, like how easy would it be for us to tell if there was life on another planet?
This is a great question, Rob, because there's a lot of investment and effort right now in order to improve our telescopes that are allowing us to see further and further. We have the James Webb Telescope, and there's going to be really remarkable images coming from there. We are expecting these in years to come. And the research on exoplanets, these are the planets outside of our solar system, has never been this exciting. More and more, we are learning how to best predict the environments, what would the signatures that we are observing might mean. As we get better and higher resolution in our telescopes, we will be able to see further and beyond. So this is a great time to study these sort of space-related disciplines, I think, in colleges and universities. And UW-Madison also has a very strong foundation and future in origin of life and astrobiology and space biology in general.
Now, here's something I wonder about. You know, we're pretty good at recognizing forms of life as they evolved here on Earth. Is it possible that there might be life somewhere else that is different enough in some way that we might have trouble even recognizing it as a form of life?
That's entirely possible, but we are basing our understanding on what we got here to start. And I need to point out, and this also goes to Brian's point earlier, Earth is my favorite planet. We should not take life on Earth for granted. And perhaps realizing what happened here and understanding it thoroughly, and this goes to exploring what is out there as well, would motivate us better to protect our home. Planet Earth is our home, and definitely exploration and space exploration should and does start here.
We're talking to Betul Kachar from UW-Madison, looking at her research on early life and its evolution here on Earth and what it means for life possibly existing elsewhere. Still time for your calls with your questions or thoughts at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Do you think we're alone out there? Do you think there's life on other planets? If there is not life on a planet, should we help it start? 800-642-1234 is the number. Betul, I wanted to ask you about this MUSE project with NASA. You're looking at metals and why some seem to be involved in the development of life, or this is part of your research, some seem to be involved in the development of life, others not so much. What are you looking at there?
Right. So I recently moved to Madison to establish a NASA Astrobiology Research Center as a part of my laboratory and research program at the Department of Bacteriology. Our goal is very clear. How can we expect to find anything else out there or to even understand or come close to understanding the universe if we do not understand what we have here? This is where we start. We lack a deep understanding, and forget about deep. We lack an understanding of our own life and our own life's history on this planet. And this is exactly what I'm going back to, that we should not take what we have around us for granted. I think most of the time when we think of space, we forget that we are in it. We are life in space ourselves. Yet we lack understanding of how things evolved and how environment and this planet itself led to this magnificent biology that we see around us today. So my center, MUSE, is a 5-year project. It's a multi-million-dollar, multi-institution, nationwide, we're connecting multiple institutes project that looks into how does elements, in particular metals, factor into life as we know. Because the question is, we are looking for life as we know elsewhere, but can we look at the metals and elements elsewhere to predict whether life that we know or something like it will rise in these bodies.
Time for another caller. Jack is with us in Eagle River. Jack, hello.
Hello. I would like to know if we, I don't think we should be planting our life on another planet, but can we search for this type of chemistry that might be life and infuse either something like a fertilizer or an enzyme into it to assist it along?
Jack, thanks a lot for the call. And that brings us back to your big thought experiment, Betul. How much, what kind of nudging, hypothetically, could it take, say, at a place like Mars to help create the preconditions for life?
Thank you, Jack. Your question has two layers. At the one level, we do such experiments on Earth. We try to understand what would it take for a chemistry to transition into biology. Does it miss an enzyme, as you pointed out, or is it a certain element or a metal or a different, completely different environmental condition? So researchers are creating these sort of environments, or I would say simulating these sort of ancient Earth conditions on Earth to understand this very transition. At the same time, we are now studying our own neighborhood, right? We study Venus, we study Mars, we will be going to different moons. So definitely there is a lot of knowledge coming from different planets and moons within our solar system and will be. We understand their chemistries. However, we lack that very connection. It's almost like judging a book by its cover. We can look at them, we understand their chemistries to some degree, but we don't know why they don't have life.
All right, Beitul, we just have a minute left, and I got to ask, suppose I somehow had this toolkit where 100% I drop this on a planet, it's going to create these preconditions for life. We're not going to drop any Earth bacteria or anything in there with it. If you had that capability, would you do it?
I knew you would ask me this. I honestly think that we may not have any other choice. If we figure out that we are the only forms of life in the universe, and if we end up destroying ourselves at the speed that we do, we may have to ask ourselves whether we should replicate or at least spread the miracle that we have here. It may come down to that. And I, for one, think and understand that life, even if we did something like this, it would take billions of years for anything to be born in wherever we are sending. So this would almost be backing up what we got in a more profound way than only perhaps planting some Earth-like seeds elsewhere. And by seed, I mean actual plant seeds, or terraforming different planets by sending them Earth microbe. This would be a little bit more deeper nuance than that. Can you tell I watched a lot of Star Trek?
Beitul, I can. And thank you so much for sharing your research with us today.
Thank you so much for hosting me.
That's Beitul Kachara, assistant professor of bacteriology at UW-Madison. She runs an astrobiology research lab there studying early life and evolution. Also does work with NASA on the origins of life.